time for Lickin' On Lending.
Welcome, everybody. Good to have you with us.
Welcome to Lickin' On Lending, a weekly mortgage market update providing up-to-the-minute information on interest rates, loan programs, and hot industry news, all related to the mortgage industry. Brought to you by Transformational Mortgage Solutions. To participate in today's program, our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. Now here's your host of Lickin' On Lending, David Lickin.
Let's begin.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Lickin' On Lending podcast. This is Jack, so everybody buckle up the seatbelts, and hopefully this will be an exciting podcast. It is Monday, June 13th, 2022, and what a day it has been already. But as always, this podcast is created by mortgage professionals for mortgage professionals, and we are ever so grateful to have you as a listener. Our commitment is to bring you timely information in an audio format that you can listen to anytime, anywhere. In our hot topic this week, we have a pre-recorded session. Brandon Weiss, co-founder of EscrowTab, and Amy Moses, Vice President, Marketing and Communication at EscrowTab, are joining David to discuss a fairly new company called EscrowTab that they started. Find out what is EscrowTab bringing to the market that lenders and title agencies haven't experienced yet. So stay tuned as we near the hot topic. I'd like to take a moment just to thank our sponsors, Finastra, Fusion Mortgage Bot. Experience the power of a fully integrated approach to mortgage lending that simplifies the borrowing experience and streamlines the process for employees. FormPre, Lender Toolkit, SnapDoc digitizes your mortgage closings to offer a better experience for your closing team, settlement partners, and borrowers with SnapDoc. Total Expert, who turns customer insights into actions to increase loyalty and drive growth for bankers, lenders, credit unions, and other financial services firms. David Lickin is in Nashville today for Total Expert's annual Accelerate 22 conference. The focus of that, you know, is going to be retention of top performing loan officers. So I think that's a subject that would be of interest to most everyone on this podcast. Also, we wish to thank Simple Nexus, the Mortgage Bankers Association of America, our co-ops, Lenders One and the Mortgage Collaborative, Success Kit, Knowledge Coop, Mobility MMI, Mortgage Market Intelligence, Modex, Mortgage Advisory Tools, and DW Consulting with Debbie Wings. Check out our videos in the sponsorship tab. And finally, a special thank you to Adam, Les, Matt, Alice, and Alan for their contributions each week to the podcast. So now let's go to the MBA Mortgage Minute and let's hear from Adam DeSantis and the MBA Mortgage Minute.
Hi, I'm Adam DeSantis. Welcome to the Mortgage Minute, the latest news from the Mortgage Bankers Association. The big news over the past week came from the Federal Housing Finance Agency. Their highly anticipated equitable housing finance plans for Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac were released. The plans are designed to complement the initiatives outlined in FHFA's strategic plan and should allow for increased opportunities for minority households to secure affordable rental housing, prepare for homeownership, and obtain access to safe and affordable mortgage credit. Plan activities include, but are not limited to, consumer education initiatives, expanded counseling services, technology to improve access to sustainable credit and fair home appraisals, and the implementation of special purpose credit programs, or SPCPs, to address barriers to sustainable homeownership. The creation and implementation of these plans is an important step in addressing our nation's long-standing challenges related to housing equity. Companies interested in advancing policies and industry practices that promote and sustain minority homeownership and affordable rental housing are encouraged to sign the MBA Home for All Pledge. Visit mba.org/homeforall for more information. Now that's it for this week. Thank you for listening.
Thanks for that update, Adam. Always lots of great info in Adam's MBA Mortgage Minute. Next, let's hear from Les Parker with the TM Spotlight and this week's macro view of the market.
TM Spotlight Soundbite is brought to you by PowerSeller, making hedging easy.
Crawl, lean in, buckskin. These wounds they will not heal.
Fear grips EU's false. Confusing what is real. Trouble around the world supports the dollar, which will tame rates. The EU continuously finds ways to do little to address real issues. Japan loves its matrix. Its investors swallowed the blue pill of contented ignorance years ago. China loves its smoke and mirrors economy and only offers a blue pill. So will the market demand and get red pills from the governments of the largest advanced economies and China and then swallow it? There. These views are my own. Know what's real at tmspotlight.com.
There just seems to be something appropriate about Les's message today and heavy metal music. So thank you, Les. Again, go to tmspotlight.com to subscribe for free to Les's newsletter and use the word power. Now, let's go to Matt Graham, founder and CEO of MBS Live, with his market updates.
Hey, Jack, how's it going? So, market updates, interesting topic of conversation today. And give me just a second, because I'm actively still working on MBS Live right now, and it is a bit of a crazy day.
Sending out some alerts this morning, so I knew you would be busy.
Yeah. So for those who haven't already seen it, we are at new super long-term high yields today. 10-year yields up 18 bips to 3.346. That is staggering. Not the biggest loss we've ever had in a day, but it is one of the bigger losses we've had over the past few decades. And let's talk about how we got here and what's going on. MBS are down a point, by the way. The sky is falling to whatever extent you want to go with the pessimistic take. I think that it ultimately paved the way for some improvement and some things that needed to happen, but it's painful in the interim. So last week when we left off, we had begun the week with rates moving higher on supply concerns, issuance concerns, corporate bonds. That ended up being really small potatoes by the end of the week. Things recovered a little bit after that. And then the European Central Bank came out with a slightly more hawkish statement on Thursday that added a little bit of pressure to the bond market. But the biggest deal by far and away was Friday's CPI data, the Consumer Price Index. This is one of the two most important inflation reports that comes out every month. And in this case, it came out hotter than expected. Here's the rundown on that. The month-over-month index was 1% versus a 0.7% forecast and 0.3% previously. That was the biggest beat. And then the annual index was up 8.6 versus a forecast of 8.3. The core, which strips out food and energy, rose only, quote unquote, only 0.6% versus 0.5 forecast and 0.6 previously. So that was a good thing that the core didn't increase by more, but it still increased more than expected. Annual core inflation, 0.1% higher than expected, but 0.2% lower than previously. The issue here wasn't so much that core inflation remained relatively high. The issue was that the market was really looking for a turning point in inflation. And sometimes we see a little bit of a divergence between economists and traders as well, where the economic forecasts are saying one thing, but traders are expecting something even more. And in this case, I think traders were expecting to see a little bit of a better recovery in inflation. And then they ended up getting really no recovery in inflation unless they were looking at the core level. And even that missed the economists' forecast. So it was a huge shock to the market. It was a little bit of a wake-up call with traders and investors saying, hey, maybe inflation is going to stick around longer than we thought or be harder to tame than we thought. The immediate reaction in Fed funds futures was for the market to price in at least another 25 to 40 basis points of additional Fed fund rate hikes by the end of the year. And then when overnight markets got a hold of the data, it was just a continuation of that. More momentum in the same direction to the point where the expected Fed funds rate by the end of 2022 is now 50 basis points or more higher than it was before CPI came out Friday morning. It's not great. Mortgage rates over 6%. It's a little bit hard to say exactly where mortgage rates are because some people are going to quote them without as many points on the front end, and those will definitely be over 6%. And then you want to take a look at buy downs right now because premium pricing is so compressed, it can make sense to buy down to lower rates for some clients. And for instance, the difference between 6.375 and 5.625 is about as small as it has been since I've been paying attention, and that's many years. So take a look at those buy downs if you're in the market or an originator. But the bigger question from a market moving standpoint is, what does this do to the bigger picture trend? Is it going to stop? Is this overdone? And I think the answers to that really will come on Wednesday afternoon with the Fed announcement. I don't think the Fed is going to change course from its planned 50 basis point rate hike, but it'll be interesting to see what they have to say about 50 bip hikes going forward. Last time they said anything about it, it was 50 bips is all we need to do. And yes, we hear your talk about 75, but that's not really something we're discussing. Are they going to change their tune and say, well, in light of this CPI report, now we're going to discuss 75 bips? I don't think they'll rule it out if asked directly, but I don't think they'll come out and say, yeah, we changed our mind, now we're going to hike 75 bips. It's a possibility, that's my opinion, that they're not going to say that. And if they did, that would be bad, and it would reinforce the weakness that we've seen in bonds over the past 2 days. But just as possible, if not more possible, would be for the Fed to say, yes, CPI was bad, it is a concern. We're seeing other data in the market that suggests inflation will indeed calm down soon. We didn't happen to see it in this report, so don't freak out. We're going to keep hiking 50 bips until things start to calm down. And then we are going to move to hike 25 bips, and then we're going to wait and see. That's been their stance before Friday. I think it will be largely their stance after Wednesday, but the specific verbiage they use, and more importantly, the Fed's dot plot, which is the summary of economic projections where they forecast the Fed funds rate for each individual Fed member over the next 2 to 3 years, will be extraordinarily important as well. Markets always read a lot into that, even though Powell likes to tell market, hey, don't read anything into the dots. So the dots come out at 2 p.m. at the same time as the Fed announcement, and then Powell's press conference starts at 2:30 p.m. That's Wednesday afternoon. Ton of volatility potential both before and especially after that. And if you look at rates in the market between now and then, just understand it's not looking great right now. But the higher we go, the closer we are to the top, right?
Exactly. Well, and we got PPI coming out on Tuesday, don't we, Matt?
Yeah, as far as this week's economic data, yeah, PPI Tuesday, 8:30 a.m. It's expected to rise to 0.8 from 0.5 month over month. And then the core level is also expected to rise 0.6 versus 0.4 month over month.
Okay. Well, Powell's been very methodical in his approach to messaging to the market and very transparent. I agree with Matt that I think Powell will continue to be methodical, to be transparent. Although there are people in the market that are looking for some hawkish statements coming out of the Fed, I just don't know if we get them on Wednesday. Powell is trying to thread the needle here, and that's a hard thing to do, but you got to appreciate this month over month, 50 basis point rate hike and the clear communication to the market in advance. So I think Matt is on money with his analysis with regards to what we're going to hear at 2 p.m. on Wednesday from the Fed. But we're basically at a five-year high in the 10 bond. Am I right about that?
We are actually the highest since 2011 now. Wow. Pretty close to a five-year high, but we passed that up, yeah, pretty shortly after the open. It was close.
Well, I missed
back
that by 7 years,
now.
Matt.
Yeah, no worries. I mean, you're right. When we woke up this morning, it was a five-year high was the headline. So things have continued to deteriorate as the day progressed, and now got to go back to 2011.
Well, thanks, Matt. And to our listeners, you can learn more about Matt's great services at mbslive.net. Use LOL as the sign-up code to get an extended trial and no credit card required. And I'll just put this personal plug in this kind of market, having somebody like Matt keeping eyes on both the market and the rhetoric coming from the market is essential. This is a time to be consuming as much information as you can about this very volatile market. So I think we all are aware this volatility is not going to subside anytime soon. So thank you, Matt Graham, for your expertise on what is a very challenging market to be a mortgage banker and originator in right now.
Thank you, Jack.
Next up, we have Alice Alvey, and she's got the legislative update. Alice is a CMB, Vice President of Education and Training at Union Home Mortgage. Alice, would you like to give us a legislative update now?
Sure. Thanks, Jack. And great job hosting the show, by the way. It's nice having you take the lead here. We miss Dave, but of course, it's great having you here. And so I understand folks are feeling a lot of pain in the market. So I wanted to focus on the other side. We don't have a lot of legislation. So that's the good news. We're not faced with something in the legislative world that's going to be changing how we do business, even though the rates that we're offering are changing a lot of who our customer base is and how we attack that qualifying. So I thought I'd actually take a look at qualifying. MBA did publish their mortgage credit availability index. There's a lot of great data here. It really just starts to try and set a trend that measures whether credit is tight or loose. And as you can all imagine, when the pandemic hit, this chart dropped dramatically. And so the measurement here, if you figure 2012 was when MBA said this is par, this is where we would consider stable credit. It's not too risky. It's not too conservative. And they set that benchmark after we'd gone through the roller coaster of the early 2000s, where we were super loose in the early 2000s and then had to self-correct as a result of that meltdown. And so if things have been very stable, so if you look at the MBA's report month over month, there have been minor changes up and down, but nothing dramatic to pile on to this. So our mortgage credit index is staying fairly stable. The agencies haven't thrown in any new stuff to help bring in a lot of business to the door, but they have helped a little bit. Freddie Mac did expand accessory units. Previously, it was only available on a single family. And now you could have an accessory unit on a 2-3 unit property. So again, a very niche-y thing, but sometimes that's what it takes to have more tools in your tool belt. It needs to meet some basic underwriting criteria, but that was an example. As the agencies look in the market, they're just finding little things to clean up their guidelines, not any major changes. Now, for some of you, perhaps in Florida, they did make a change to increase the maximum single investor concentration all the way up to 49% for condos on purchase transaction condos. But this has to go with the fact, for example, if you have somebody who's divesting from owning a group, or you've got a developer who still owns a large chunk of the units, as long as they're selling those units down to 25%, then the agencies have an exception there. So a couple of little pieces out there to go looking at. Make sure you really understand all your underwriting benefits and the comparison between Fannie and Freddie, and when one investor is better than the other to get that business in the door. We really have to really be sharp on our credit guides. One last thing too, I noticed as I looked at FHA's recent report, they too are taking on slightly higher risk. It seems more loans are falling into those lower credit score buckets. The average DTI is now up over 44%, which is highest it's been in the report is 2016. So on the FHA side, they're feeling it a little bit with a little bit increased credit risk coming in their door. Last but not least, I wanted to touch on the Equifax coding error. So just want to make sure everybody saw this. This happened from March 17th to April 6th. The error may have impacted about 12% of credit reports. And so every company now is going out there taking a look at where they may have relied on that Equifax for a loan decision, and assessing if, for example, did we charge a borrower an LLPA, their credit score is actually higher than what we used, and do we owe them a refund? Fannie and Freddie, of course, are saying, we don't give any guidance because it was your vendor who had the problem. They're not getting any help from them. And there isn't a consistency in this. The score could have been higher. It could have been lower. And as you can tell, it's a very small population of loans, but a project that every lender is going through right now to get to the bottom of. So not anything that your customers today have to worry about. It does appear to be resolved. It was just that short couple week period back in early spring. So that's my report for today, Jack. I'll turn it back to you.
Well, Alice, just before the podcast, you and I were talking, and I just want to make sure that our listeners understand that you were talking about the mortgage credit accessibility index, and that's not really affordability. That's a different concept, because during the call, I was kind of trying to blend the two, and you were kind enough to help me understand the segregation between accessibility and affordability. Can you just talk about that for a quick second?
Sure. That's a great clarification because I know sometimes I talk fast. So the Credit Availability Index that the Mortgage Bankers Association puts out is designed to really serve as like a barometer on the availability or the supply of mortgage credit at a point in time. That's how they'll describe it. And so at this point in time, based on many variables, so there's a lot of data that goes into this, is credit considered loose or is it considered tight by today's standards? So it's still a little looser since it's at 120, it's above par, meaning it's slightly looser than it was back in 2012. Actually, the Urban Institute has a variation on the same type of thing on credit availability. So it's not going to be related to how easy is it to buy a house. It's how much easier is it to get my mortgage?
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, just wanted to make sure we made that distinction. And thank you for that very interesting update, Alice. And next, let's go to Alan Pollack with a tech update. Alan, are you with us?
I am here. How's it going, Jack? How are you this week?
Well, it's going as well as the market will let it go, Alan.
Yes. The good thing is that you're not sitting in the hot seat anymore, right? You're in this hot seat instead.
And this hot seat's a lot cooler given what's right. been happening in the market. Some people will say, I timed my exit well.
You should play the lottery. Actually, you may win twice. So let's talk about a couple things going on in tech. I've been absent the last few weeks. I just came back. My oldest daughter just graduated high school, and I went away our last trip before she takes off for college. So it's been quite busy. But I've been thinking about technology news, and I've got a really, really important message about Bistar Credit Union in a moment. But let's start with a couple quick things. The first is, let's talk about some fun news. Amazon. Some folks may remember us talking one or two times over the last few years about them doing packages by drones. Well, they finally are working with the FFA and local officials. And in Lockford, California, this year, they are going to do their very first drone delivery. So it looks like their program was not abandoned and they're finally taken off. I think with the way everything's going, it'll be interesting to see what this really does and if it works. I know that a lot of the mom and pop and locally sourced stores will not be very happy about this, but it is a move in technology that is futuristic and will take us to the next level. So let's see what happens there. The next thing, Jack, I really wanted to bring this up, and I thought this was quite interesting. Redfin economists, they predict the cool down in budgets will lead to a cool down in price growth by 2 to 3 months as buyers typically search online. And it says that sellers are slower to adjust to the cooling market, but they're starting to respond. Mm-hmm. And they're also saying that 21% of home sellers dropped their asking price in the last 4 weeks, which is up 10% from a year earlier. So really, I think the market is making the corrections that are needed. You probably still have some of those sellers that think that it's still the top of the market and they're going to get 1,000 people bidding on their home within 24 hours. And I think some folks also probably just thought because the market's hot, it's a time to sell without doing the right renovations to their home. But data is data, right? Data tells us the truth and the story. And the economists at Redfin and many other places, if you Google, you'll start to see the same thing. The subject is the same. So what does that mean for you? Well, it means that your loan officers need the right tools in order to help their buyers understand how to be successful at their mortgage journey. And I think we've always talked about that, right? The literacy that you can provide to a borrower in that process, which brings me to some things going on in our industry. There's a company called BEE, like the bumblebee. They just raised $2.5 million, and they're the first mortgage app of its kind. That's what they're saying. It's a beta trial with contactless loan applications in under 10 minutes. Now, Jack, I know you've heard all the things in the past, right? Mortgage in a box or mobile mortgage, and right? All these terms have been out there. I haven't heard this one, so if you're interested, check it out. It's called BEE, and they raised $2.5 million. The next one is helping lenders actually with delinquencies and other issues. Companies called EarnUp, and they just received an investment. Part of that was LendingTree and KeyBank. It's a San Francisco-based fintech. They just raised $31 million, so someone's got the money. But they just raised $31 million in a Series C financing round, and it's to streamline the business operations and reduce delinquent and missed payments that will harm credit scores and your mortgage portfolios. So check that out. It's also pretty cool. And also things that we're looking at is at Freddie Mac, their LPA, Asset and Income Modeler, is automatically satisfying 10-day pre-closure validations. And what they're saying is the savings of a total shaving off about 15 days and 30%. So we all know D1C. We all know that the tech is moving throughout some of these larger institutions, and LPA has been working on a number of different things. So you finally can see the fruit of their looms. And if you're using it, hopefully you're getting about the same exact saving. So let's talk about ViStar, Jack. This is a really, really big one. Some of our financial institutions have been worried about how to implement tech, how to do it without causing issues, right? As a financial institution, we make seven-year investments in our borrowers. Well, tech failed big time. But you can't just blame the tech on what happened with ViStar, which I'll tell you in a moment. You have to also blame the process around it. So ViStar was in the process working with a different tech company, somebody new, to roll out a new platform. Today marks the 1 month time frame. They said that they tested for 48 hours prior. Not only did it go down, but people are still suffering. But there was about 2 weeks where nobody could pay bills, transfer money, gain access to their systems or their sites. It was causing an absolute frenzy here in Florida, in Georgia. People were driving hours to get to the branch just to find out that nobody at the branch would even talk to them. There was an image that I found online, Jack. The image was the website of somebody logging into their account, and it's a temporary page that says, I am sorry, please leave this page open, and it will automatically refresh to your account or to the customer service area where we can help you. And it said, you are number 84,145 in line. The tech issues go way beyond this. It talks about, they said that your data is secure, your accounts are secure, it was not a cyber attack. There's tons of videos and information. You can Google this. You may have heard about it. Ultimately, though, what happened is that ViStar, as big of a credit union as they are, and with the tens of thousands of people that use their online banking and mobile banking platforms, caused an absolute crash and backup to their systems that caused all kinds of things that were not able to be repaired easily. And with the volume of people coming back to the systems, coming back to their site and their own internal systems, it was like just a giant deadlock. And even if they were to get the systems back up and running, the amount of transactions that were just waiting and queued were taking the new systems down. But what I want to tell you is, it is an absolute perfect example of what's called simulation, what's called quality assurance. It may cost you a little bit of money to put some servers in place to validate and test it or put a pilot customer on it, but it will save you from 1 month of outages and the amount of people that are now leaving ViStar. You can see the comments all over the internet. People have been there for 25 years, multiple generations of family. They're all leaving and going different places. So there's a lot of trouble for ViStar. They had some severe image to resolve, but super important that this can be completely, completely, completely avoided. It is the hands of the human that causes these things. So don't be afraid of technology, but you have to have the right people process in place in order to avoid this from happening. And that's it for today, Jack. Looking forward to the hot topic.
Oh. Alan, you and I couldn't agree more. And actually, you and I both lived it somewhat successfully. And so many people don't put the emphasis on this, right? It's user acceptance testing, regression testing, negative testing, and then stress testing your technology platform before you turn the lights on. Unfortunately, all that occurs at the very end of the project lifecycle when you're under the most pressure to deliver the platform inside your institution, and you maybe take a shortcut, you maybe don't do as much as you should, and then you wind up having this horrific mess like this, right? You just can't underestimate the value of those testing steps, be they UAT, be their negative testing, be their stress testing. I mean, you've got to tag all of those bases at the end of the project.
And Jack, it's probably a great point to say that for the folks that consider build versus buy, years ago it was probably a lot easier to say, oh, it's just much easier to build. But when you build, you need more people than you need to buy. You still need those people to buy, right? ViStar still had some of their tech, but they used someone. But it's still absolutely critical to think of this conversation the right way. And there's certain key elements, as Jack just went through, part of testing. It's not just about a quick test. It's about multiple facets and types of testing to get to a successful product launch.
Thank you, Alan, very much. Very timely. So this is the end of our weekly mortgage update. If you're listening to us on a downloaded basis, you can check out the next episode for our Hot Topic segment.
Listeners, I'm excited to have back on the microphone a couple of friends, and they're talking about something that is very important, and it's all about where are we going as an industry? What is the latest technology that can enable us to move faster in this process of mortgage lending? So joining me today is Amy Moses, Senior Marketing Director, also Brandon Weiss, who is co-founder of EscrowTab. So good to have both of you with us. So appreciate you being here.
Thank you for having us, David. It's a pleasure to be with you today.
Amy, we've known each other for a long, long time, and you introduced me to Brandon when you guys were together at MERS, and you were so excited about Brandon as a leader of that company, and you've been working with us. So talk a little bit about that.
Sure. Thanks, David. Yeah, I was at MERS probably about 6 or 7 years, I think, when Brandon came on board as the COO, and he was tasked with really kind of relaunching the MERS e-registry, right? And that was very exciting for me because of my background in both training and marketing to be able to work on this fun new challenge, because at MERS, we didn't have anything to sell per se with the MERS e-registry. So we had to do a lot of education in the industry to educate everyone about e-notes and e-mortgages to get the entire ecosystem on board. And that was a really fun challenge that Brendan and I paired up on for several years. And so when he co-founded EscrowTab and asked me to come over and join him as the vice president of marketing, I was very excited for that opportunity because I knew it was another challenge where we could work together to make a difference in our industry.
Very exciting. What is the vision, Brendan, with your company, what you're about? Love to get understanding into that. EscrowTab.
Yeah, it's great to be here, David. As you mentioned earlier, I was at Intercontinental Exchange and worked at New York Stock Exchange for years, all very heavy technology companies that are moving fully automated processes at microseconds of time. And when I had the opportunity to go to MERS and be the chief operating officer there, and my boss said, go figure out digital mortgage. And that was an exciting opportunity for me for a lot of different reasons. But MERS, as kind of an industry utility at that time, gave me the ability to really absorb all this great information that are externally members of MERS, but also the great employees of MERS could teach me all that I needed to learn about the market structure of mortgage and digital mortgage. EscrowTab is the leading iPen solution, and iPen is in-person electronic notarization. It's something that the laws have been on the books across the United States for a good amount of time, over 15 years in most cases, but it's taken a while for someone to really kind of build the technology in a way that would be intuitive for everyone that's involved. And that's always a challenge for whatever industry you're in, but you have to get it right, not just for lenders and title companies are our main focus, but also the notaries that are out in the field and using this technology and meeting with the borrowers. And you need to have something that's going to be super intuitive and a natural product for borrowers and notaries as they're sitting at the table together and performing that final piece of the transaction.
Yeah, I love one of the signatures Amy is all about is driving results through engagement and enjoyment. And I just enjoy the two of you and the relationship, how you guys really work so well together. It's one of those great partnerships you see in the industry. And then we start seeing that, you start anticipating some great results. So let's get in and start talking about what EscrowTab is about. It's a fairly new company. And what does it do? How did you get started? And what are each of your roles, if you can kind of go into that?
EscrowTab is the leading iPen solution, which is in-person electronic notarization. And that is something that has been around on the books of every state for, in many cases, over 15 years, and just really hasn't been leveraged because it's really hard to get both the technology and the software side to align with the hardware side to create something that's really intuitive and useful within the industry. EscrowTab was started really around the focus of how do we get people moving forward with e-closings, but mirror the exact same process that has been tested over the course of the last 200 years. Because obviously this is a very legal process. People are very used to it. But if we can apply technology to that process, we have a really good shot of being successful. And that's what we really set out to accomplish.
And then, Amy, what you saw as the opportunity when you heard about it, you have been very instrumental in getting e-mortgages up and running at MERS, and you've always been a champion of that. What did you see that really stood out here to you?
Yeah, David, it was really this unique opportunity to compete in the blue ocean instead of the red ocean.
Expound on that a little bit. I understand the concept, but for those that might not, explain that.
Yeah, definitely. So one of my favorite books, The Blue Ocean.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of companies that are doing the same thing, right? And when there's companies providing the same service or the same product, they're competing in the red ocean where it gets bloody because you're competing for the same customers with the same product or service. And I saw this as a blue ocean idea where we're providing something very different to the industry that nobody else was providing. And I knew how excited Brendan was about it. And so I caught on to that enthusiasm, really wanting to provide that blue ocean product because we didn't see a lot of people working together to bring iPen to lenders, title, and notary. And I've spent 20 years of my career on the lender side, 10 years working for a lender, and 10 years working with lenders. And so it's exciting too now to dive into the title, settlement, and notary space and see how they can work with lenders to really create this change in our industry.
The vision is there. And what I love is the concept, Brendan, that you have taken something that we're all familiar with, the pen and the paper, and you have a new acronym, iPen, and you are really bringing the two together. So it is going to be intuitive, but yet it's really maintaining the technology component that's something we have not seen before. Go into that a little bit more, Brendan, about what does this experience look like when someone's using iPen?
Yeah, the experience is to maintain as much of the existing process as possible. So we saw a lot of technology providers going to lenders and expecting lenders to push that technology out the title and over to the signing agents. What we have taken this new approach with is really take that burden off the shoulders of the lenders themselves and allow them to send docs off wherever those docs might be coming from and to the title companies like they do today, and let those title and settlement companies manage that process like they do today. The title company will then load in documents into both the title docs with the lender docs into EscrowTab. We run them through our doc preparation functionality, which is really about identifying where those signature and initial locations are and any other fields that they want to have included in it, and then assigning it to that signing agent. And once assigned to the signing agent, they now have a tablet with the Bluetooth pen that we use specific tablets for that operate the software. And that notary signing agent is then able to log into their profile in the morning. They see what loans have been assigned to them, and they're able to go out into the field and meet with that borrower and have as much of that document electronically signed as possible. That includes all the notarized documents. And if the lender is set up with MERS to do e-notes, then we create that MISMO SmartDoc e-note for the lender in our system. Once it's signed, we auto-register it with MERS and we'll transfer it to their counterparty for them. So it really takes that lift off the shoulders of the lenders and allows them to move the direction that they've always wanted to do without creating internal committees and going out and procuring a lot of other technology. They can just rely on the vendors that they've trusted for a long time to do this for them.
Is it a special tablet or can I use my iPad? Do they have to go out and acquire another tablet that is specific to yourselves?
It is not specific to us. We use Microsoft Surface Pro. As we're launching into the iOS store, we are using a Apple iPad Pro. But these are devices that could be purchased off the shelf. Of course, we have deep relationships with both of Microsoft and Apple, so we're able to help those signing agents and title companies get enabled at a better price point, frankly. But that is really the only thing that is required. And as we went to the National Notary Association conference this past week and met with hundreds of notaries, the fact that a tablet is about $1,000 does not concern them at all because they see all that value they're getting primarily through not having to race back to the FedEx office and ship everything back to the lender, but then just their time management, right? They know there's often issues in the mortgage industry where at the last minute, someone realizes that the wrong document was sent or they need an updated package and they have to route that signing agent back to find a place to print off that documentation. Number one, it's not very secure. Number two, it takes a lot more time. And through EscrowTab, those documents can be updated as the notary is on their way to meet with that borrower. And that makes everyone's life more efficient and preserves their time, which is the most important piece for all of us.
And David, I have to add, when we were at that National Notary Association conference and we presented two workshops there and we demoed how the software works and explained IPEN, and when some of these features that Brennan just mentioned were discussed, there was cheering and clapping in the room. I'd never seen anything like it. So we would discuss the feature. Oh, you made an error right here. You can erase this page, and cheering, right? No rushing to the FedEx, clapping and screaming. I mean, they were so excited for these changes to help build efficiencies in their business. And it was all authentic and organic. It was so refreshing.
Well, we're looking at a market where interest rates have risen. We're looking at locks expiring, and we're looking at time where people are stressed. And I'm thinking, my brother just bought a new home and closed on it, and the builder got the house finished literally within 5 minutes of the lock expiring, and they had to go in and there was a document change. And it's like, are you kidding me? Could this get any more stressful? It's not going to take out all the stress, but it certainly is going to go a long ways to mitigate some of those last minute changes and all the hassles that go with it. You talk about title companies. I want to talk about that, driving the process of implementing e-mortgages. And why is that title companies are the most instrumental ones? I agree with you, but talk about that.
Yeah, it's primarily because they are the ones who, they obviously have to add their documents and get those documents signed as well, and some of them notarized in addition to all those lender docs. So at some point, there has to be a combination of title and lender documents. And for a long time, it's been those title companies and settlement companies who have overseen that process on behalf of the lender. And they've come to really master what that process looks like to the extent possible. So I think one thing that a really smart warehouse lender who told me when I was at MERS was that if I mess with their process, they will never move forward. But if we can apply technology to that process, it can really accelerate. And that's what we tried to do here. One other thing I want to mention is that we are having the borrower sign these documents with their handwritten signature, just like they would today. But the difference is that it's using the device, and we're capturing the pressure points and everything else so that those investors know that they're buying a loan that includes that borrower's forensically handwritten signature on those documents. And that's kind of a belts and suspenders above a typical click-to-sign technology.
Very interesting. I see how EscrowTab is bringing something new to the market, especially for the lenders and the title companies, and that they haven't experienced before. But how will you continue to bring value to the industry as this adopts? What's this vision and how does it grow, Brendan?
Yeah, it's a great question. There are a number of different products that we are offering that will be part of our suite of products. But then sometimes it's also about providing flexibility so that those customers can use other products if they want to. So if we just talk about the product suite, it's about having this in-person electronic notarization platform, or IPEN, that we're already rolling out and working with title companies on, and that they really like, because borrowers still vote to want to preserve that in-person closing experience. And that's data that the Boston National Title has done surveys on, Solidify has done surveys on. So we know that to be a truth. The next piece of it is there's other documents that are inside an organization that need to be electronically signed. So having that separate electronic signature platform, kind of like a DocuSign, is the next thing that we're rolling out. And then, of course, in cases where either borrowers might want it, or there are certain documents like seller documents that can really be closed and signed through a remote online notarization platform. So adding that piece into our entire suite of offering is key. And someone might be using our own platform, or they could be connected using someone else's remote online notarization platform. So providing flexibility and expansion of how things are signed within that organization is really what we're aiming to accomplish.
Amy, this has got to be like shooting ducks in a barrel when you're out there selling this, because like you say, you're getting cheers from an audience. How many people have presented a new product concept at an audience and gotten cheers? This has got to be pretty encouraging to you. What are some of the things that you're seeing as far as the value that it's bringing?
Yeah, when we were at the NS3 conference last week, David, we met both with a lot of lenders and with title companies. And from both sides, they said to us, IPEN, We're hearing a lot about it lately, right? Mm-hmm. What's up with that? Why are we hearing so much? And why do we need to be paying attention? And when I started here 6 months ago, I did a big search to try to determine who's talking about IPEN. And there wasn't a lot out there from the lender side, the title side, the notary side. I saw notaries doing a lot of videos about RON and RON platforms, but not IPEN. And so it's fun to see how now people are paying attention to how IPEN can bring them some pretty immediate efficiencies. And at the NNA conference last week, there were a large contingent of notaries from California saying, but this isn't legal in California, right? Said, RON isn't legal in California yet, but IPEN is.
Oh.
And you can just see the light bulb switch on when you talk to people and they get it. Like, okay, great. This is how I can start creating efficiencies for my business. And from the notary side, right, they're entrepreneurs. They're looking to save every dime they can for their business. And the title side as well, when we had the conversations last week, I could see the light bulb pop on because they knew it was a differentiator that they could offer to their lenders that a lot of other companies aren't yet offering. And so, yeah, it is fun to have those conversations and see the people who really get it and want to move forward.
Yeah, and cheering in an audience is unusual. But so why is now such a critical time for title companies and lenders to move forward with implementing an e-closing solution?
Yeah, I think we see the market dynamics have changed dramatically. Everyone is looking for margin. This is definitely an efficiency tool for title companies and for notary signing agents. The lenders finally get to be able to accept e-notes and electronically signed packages that are fully QC'd coming back to them. Most lenders have a huge staff where they're really just rechecking what should have been done completely by the title company already as kind of a second review. When those documents go through our doc tagging, like kind of functionality, and we QC those documents at the end, a lot of that efficiency is gained by the lender as well, not to mention the e-note. So I think a lot of people are now looking for, they've got breathing room, they realize that it's really important to be as efficient as they can now. And lastly, now's a great time to build trust in all the people that you want to work with for the next peak of mortgages. We know it's coming back. We're in a little bit of a lull right now. Everything looks clear that by this time next year, things are going to look dramatically different. And you really want to establish those partnerships at a time where if something were to go wrong, you can correct and you can move to the next one. But those are the different things that we hear from title companies and lenders today about why they feel like now is the right time to move forward with some of these initiatives.
I can understand that. Amy, do you want to add anything to that?
Yeah, sure. David, you had mentioned that we'd known each other for a long time. I was thinking this morning how I believe it was 5 years ago that you invited Brendan and I to be on the podcast when we were preparing to host our first e-mortgage bootcamp, because that would have been June 2018. And I was thinking about the changes between 5 years ago and now. And there's a blame game, I would say, going on a little bit then between lender and title, with lender saying title isn't ready to move forward with this. And then title saying, well, lenders aren't ready to move forward.
Right.
And there was such a lack of knowledge about what was happening then. And there were a lot of competing priorities, right? A lot of different compliance issues were really coming to the forefront then, that lenders, even if they wanted to, they're like, we don't have time to focus on this. We're busy with all of these compliance issues. And so now, a lot of that's past us. As Brendan mentioned, things have slowed down on the production side. So there's the time, there's more of the understanding, they're more educated, they know they have to do it. And if we can get the ecosystem to work together instead of that blame game, then it's just a path to success.
We have a lot of clients that are banks and credit unions. And in that space for signature cards, we see these pads where there's a pen and an iPad that they can write. Are you concerned that some of these other tools could come in and be a competition to you? It sounds like you're the only ones in this game with this technology this time. Can others come in and do the same thing with some of these other technologies that are being used in other areas?
Yeah, I mean, think from a competitive standpoint with other vendors, IP is always a great thing to have, and that's something that we have. But more importantly, I think it's that we have really figure out a way to harness this user experience that is so akin to what they're doing today, to the good pieces of what they're doing today, that we feel like we obviously have much bigger lead. Some of those other tools that you mentioned are really trying to capture the borrower's signature once and then place it in other places throughout the document.
Right.
And that is not a forensically verifiable signature. That is just someone who has agreed to sign something electronically. Obviously, that's legal. But if you go into any courtroom in the United States, you are only going in with that audit trail at that point. And for us, we've had forensic analysts review documents that half the signatures are signed on escrow tab, half are signed with ink, scan that in because that's what's usually going to the courtroom. And those forensic analysts can't tell the difference. And that's because we're capturing pressure points and everything else, just like you would with your normal ink signature. So we feel like in terms of meshing the software with the hardware, we really have a product that is so unique and so much easier to advance that the adoption kind of takes on a life of its own. And just really communicating that out, which Amy has been doing a fantastic job of, is where we are in our life cycle. And having even regional title companies that are working more closely with the realtors, they're communicating out to their realtor base and saying, hey, I have something that I can provide a better experience for you. It's an efficiency tool for that title company. And they see those cost savings of around $175 a loan inside those title companies. And it's material business.
That's significant. So is this going to start really accelerating the whole e-closing thing? Is this the missing link you think that might actually increase the speed from glacial adoption speeds to actually more rapid adoption?
Well, I mean, obviously, we think it will be one of those accelerators. We're not naive enough to think that we'll be the only person in the market offering any platform, right? But from an iPen solution, we do feel like we are going to be that winner in this area. And a lot of that has to do with the whole team at EscrowTab, from our developers to our customer support to our marketing communications. It takes everyone to really make it work that way. And we really focus on making sure that every customer we sign up has a excellent user experience, but also customer support experience, because when that signing agent is at the table, there is not much room for error. And you really need to make sure that if anything happens, we are right there to help them out and provide that support. And those are all the pieces that really make us believe that we can continue to be the leading iPen solution in the industry.
It's very exciting to see this technology come to market and the vision that you have. I want to encourage our listeners to get a hold of you, which is, how can they do so?
Yeah, they can go to escrowtab.com. We just released a new website, so they can visit that and review our resources out there. If they would like to request a demo from us, there's a form they can fill out for lender and title to request a demo. It's a notary that happens to be listening. There's also a form that they can complete so that they can sign up to start the process of becoming an EscrowTab enabled notary signing agent. Or, of course, they can contact Brendan or I directly, Brendan Weiss at escrowtab.com and Amy Moses at escrowtab.com. And I just want to add, David, with Brendan talking about it takes a team, and it's fun to work together to do this and to see the reactions of lender, title, and notaries. We were meeting with a lender last week at NS3, and she loved that forensically verifiable signature. Yes. She didn't start cheering and clapping, but she was almost there in a meeting. And she's like, wait, let me get that down, because I want to be able to tell her executive team exactly what it was, because it was something new that she had never seen before. So it's really, really fun to see the reactions of people and how excited they're getting about this.
And Brendan, I think your leadership style, I've watched you at MERS, I've now watched you here, and you do attract really good people. And it's great to have a great technology, but like you said, it's really the people behind it that make that happen. What has been the key to your success in attracting the right people, other than just who you are?
Honestly, David, I have always kind of had this mentality that if you trust the people that you've hired, obviously hiring great people from the start is key to it, but then you trust them to do their job and to fulfill their tasks and really be innovative in how they go about thinking of new ways to do their job, that empowers them to really be successful. And Amy is an example of how we have worked together for a long time. And when we got her into the right position at MERS running marketing and communications, she literally changed the industry. I mean, there was no communication out there at that time about e-notes and e-mortgages. And if you give people that power to really do what they do great, they are always going to be happy. They're always going to be working hard and motivated to wake up in the morning and support the company. And that's what we try to do. That's what I've always tried to do. And now that's what we try to do throughout EscrowTab.
Well, congratulations on getting an evangelist like Amy on board, Brendan. That spoke volumes to me. I'm really excited about what you're doing and what you're launching. Amy, I love what you're saying. Driving results through engagement and enjoyment. And I think when you have that and you're doing something exciting, you guys create that. And I'm really encouraging our listeners to reach out to you. Who should we be most in driving towards you and why?
We consider our three engagement points, our lenders, title companies, and signing agents. And of those three people, lenders really kind of need to know what we're up to, because we have several bank clients who close all their mortgages in-house, and they're using EscrowTab in their branches to make sure that they're getting that fully QC package back. Title companies are where that core service provider is, because they're the ones typically merging all those documents together. And then the mobile signing agents are the ones that are EscrowTab enabled in order to meet with the borrower and perform those closings. But those are the three key pieces for us. I think the lender reaction has been fantastic, because once they realize, oh, I can move forward with this and I don't have to go become the closing expert. I don't have to manage the closing or any piece of this closing anymore. I can just have something that I can drop my documents into and let my title agent partners run with it.
It's very exciting. Have you been able to get any statistics on the cost savings potential using iPen?
Well, we have some savings from the notary side, yes, that it saves them about $45 per closing, both in hard costs and in their time. And that's one thing we had a lot of conversations about this past week, was the value of their time, right? And if they're not spending time printing one copy, two copies of documents, if right. they're not driving to the FedEx, that's a lot of time they can save either doing other closings or spending more time with their family or whatever it is. And what we found out is a lot of the notaries are very community minded and give back to their communities in a lot of ways, so they can spend their time doing that, right? So it's $45 per closing for the notaries. And then on the title and lender side, we've definitely seen those stats as well.
Yeah, some of those regional title agencies are seeing as much as $175 per file, a 75% reduction in time reduction and slipping the package, because that's just immediately being dropped back into their system and they're able to pull those documents down and then deliver them back to the lender. And with so many lenders wanting to decrease their turn times and get them over to Fannie or Freddie or into a Ginnie Mae pool, those are really key figures for them to be able to make sure that the loan gets funded immediately. And then they're in a position where they can turn around and sell that loan in the secondary markets, or with an e-note, be able to take advantage of really that, again, kind of warehouse line efficiency.
Yeah, I can see so many places where money could be saved as a result of it. That's good. Thank you so much for both being here and sharing this exciting new technology and service, and encourage everyone to get a hold of you. I think this could make a real difference in someone's business, success or failure. I mean, if you're competing against someone who has this and someone who doesn't, especially when it comes to those last minute changes, oh my gosh, this is a game changer. Very exciting.
Thank you for having us, David. We definitely believe it's a game changer. And I'm thinking, we should get you an iPen t-shirt. Brendan and I should have worn ours. We did during our session. You talk about having fun. We had t-shirts where I was the I, Brendan was the P, somebody else was an E, and somebody else was an N. And so that it spelled out iPen to really reinforce that. And people had fun with that. So we need to get you one that says iPen.
I always love getting some swag from folks that are on the podcast. So yeah, welcome that very much.
Thank you, David. To your point about having fun, everyone knows that they're going to have fun if they're on the David Licken show. And we both had fun today as well. And thank you for the time.
It's an honor. I'm excited about your success, and we'll be definitely having you back. Thank you.
Thank you.
And, you know, Alan mentioned something earlier about the re-verification solution that Freddie Mac is bringing to the marketplace. And I just want to mention to our listeners, that is going to be next week's Hot Topic segment with Christy Moss from Form Free and Dina Randolph from Freddie Mac. And I was a part of that discussion, and I will tell our listeners, mark that date on your calendar. This is a excellent hot topic section and will be something that you want to hear to help streamline what is a time-consuming step at the end of the origination process right before closing. That's a can't miss. Again, I'd just like to mention our sponsors, Finastro's Fusion Mortgage Bot Solution, Form Free, Lender Toolkit, SnapDocs, Total Expert, Simple Nexus, the Mortgage Bankers Association of America, Lenders One, the Mortgage Collaborative, Success Kit, Knowledge Coop, Mobility MMI, Modex, Mortgage Advisory Tools, and DW Consulting with Debbie Weems. Thanks, everybody, for listening, and be sure to share this podcast with others. Have a great week, everyone.
You've been listening to Lickin' on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update with your host, David Lickin of Transformational Mortgage Solutions. Join us next week, and thanks for listening.